Hey there, creative people. What's up, buds? Welcome to the Creative People Podcast. My name is Ryan Leacock. This is the podcast for those who show up. Today, I'm joined by street photographer Matthew Anson. Matt is a street photographer out of Los Angeles. I love Matt's photos. And here's the deal with Matt. I've been following Matt on Tumblr for a while, like 2 years. I think we talked about it in the chat. And it was a really unique experience talking to someone who not only I've enjoyed his work, but I've also kind of curated it into my own work, or kind of my own work. Here's a little story. A bunch of years ago, I made an iPad story app called The Weekend Wars. It was one of those projects that I was really proud of, but it never really went where I wanted it to go. So while I've moved on, you know, I'm still crushing on it in the back of my head. So that's where I fell in love with Matt's photos, in this still thriving, curated Tumblr mood board for a project that I still love, my project that got away, The Weekend Wars. And that's how we get to Matt. Matt has a wonderful perspective on creativity. He brought some much needed, not reality check, but kind of a reality balance to our chat. His photos and certain perspectives on creativity, excellent stuff. He's a great guy. Can't wait for you to hear it. I'm glad to be back doing the podcast this week. Weeks off are interesting right now. I don't know if anyone else has gone through this. So for me, the taking weeks off makes the podcast better. You know, my mind needs a break. I come back fresh. It's great. But then, you know, being off and not doing as much, that big scary void starts to creep in. So then I got to get busy again. So here we are. All right. Well, I think that's enough bumper chat. Let's get into it. Let's distract ourselves with street photographer Matthew Anson.
Hello.
Hey, Matthew. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, Ryan?
I'm all right. Good to meet you.
You too.
I like your background.
Thanks. I'm digitally in Joshua Tree.
How's it going, man?
It's going good. Yeah. Excited to talk to you. I've never done a podcast before. I've listened to about a million of them, though.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to be the first one. I'm glad to meet you, too, because I've been following you on Tumblr for like kind of a long time. And you have such distinct photos. So it's cool to put like a face to it. And like, yeah. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Yeah. I noticed that when you messaged me and it's, you know, on Tumblr, it says like, has been following you for 2 years. And I was like, oh, wow. Yeah. You know, I always like, and am curious to, or interested in seeing stuff like that to, since obviously you've been like inundated with like a lot of pictures for 2 years. So I'm always like, oh, who are the people who subject themselves to this?
I love it. I went in, like, I kind of go into these things as fresh as I can. So I was like, I don't really know anything about this guy. I just like his pictures. So here we are. How about we start off with you introducing yourself and telling everyone what you do?
Sure. My name is Matt. I am a street photographer. I don't know if I've ever really said that out loud before, though.
Wow.
I usually just say that I like to take pictures, and that's like a big hobby of mine.
Yeah.
But I really almost only or exclusively take photos of streets, so I'll say it.
That was one of the things that I had written down to talk to you about. So how about we just start there? So why streets?
I've always just been, even growing up, I remember I didn't come into like photography or anything like that until I was in college, until I was like 20. But I remember being, you know, 7 or 8 years old and growing up around Los Angeles and like being driven around and just being like, just very, like always just glued to the window. And I still live in Los Angeles. And so there are times like where I'm driving down the freeway and it's like, I remember seeing spots as a kid and being like, well, how could there be a sidewalk like next to the freeway? And then like, as an adult being like, oh, I'm gonna go check it out, you know? Yeah. And then the photography part kind of like came naturally with that.
Yeah. So you came to photography later. Talk to me about that process. How did you, you know, you were looking out the window, turn into, I should take a picture of this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. When I was in college, I worked on my college newspaper. So I was really interested in writing and journalism and stuff like that. I was like the editor of the arts and entertainment section at one point. And so I was also really into music and writing music reviews, live shows. And I was really into like extreme metal or punk, hardcore punk, stuff like that. And so at that time, I was like, oh, I could just write reviews of these shows I'm going to, and I can just take the camera from the office that we have. And so I got into doing that, where I was like shooting shows. And that was really how I identified, you know, myself early on. This is like 10 years ago now, where I was like, oh, I'm like really into music photography and going to all these shows. And at a certain point, it didn't really make any sense. It's like there are all these like obscure backyard shows and like weird obscure album reviews and in the college newspaper. It's like no one's really interested in this, and it's like I'm dominating the camera. So eventually I was told like, hey, you can't keep taking the camera, you know, like we use it for like other stuff. And so I ended up like, you know, buying my first camera. I had like no idea what I was doing buying a camera. So I ended up buying something where it was like, oh, you get the lens, you get the case, and it comes, you know, I did that whole thing, which is I now know you don't want to do. Soon after that, it was like, I went into that summer, and after the summer, the next fall, I studied abroad. And so I took my camera with me, and I was in Denmark. And when I was there, I got like really into, you know, photography, since I was by myself. And so I took a photojournalism class when I was there. And that was like the one class I took. And that was like super instrumental, because one of our assignments was like, you have to find a Danish person. Like, it's up to you, find a Danish person and like take pictures of them the whole semester. And so I was like, how am I going to do that? And so I ended up like through Facebook. This is back when like Facebook had a positive piece to it. I found like these shows at this venue, Ungdomshuset, and that's what it was called, I think. I went there and I saw this band play, and I took pictures, and I like later on found their profile and messaged them saying like, hey, I'm like this American teenager, like I'm hoping to do like follow someone around. And luckily, like they replied, and I like ended up like following the band around for the whole semester, which got me like super into photography and super into music more so. And so that was really like early on what I, you know, music and punk and metal and photography, they were all like very much the same thing to me, or at least for photography, it was only through that type of lens, so to speak.
So how did it go from bands to... Because that's the thing that I noticed. There's very few people. And when they are in the photo, they're just part of the background. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was shooting like more and more like backyard type shows and houses or warehouses, stuff like that. And over time, like started to lose interest in shooting music, or I kind of lost some interest in that type of music as well. But I was also gaining a lot of interest in like the areas and the communities that a lot of these shows were in, where it would be like, oh, like I'll just shoot these streets after this show. And then it was like, why even go to the show? Like, and you know, I live in LA, and you know, there was already a lot of interesting stuff around me. And so I really just like made a pretty hard switch to, like, it wasn't a switch that I just said, like, I'm going to stop shooting shows, I'm just going to shoot streets for like the next 8 years. But it did happen kind of in that way around like 2013, 2014, I guess. And since then I've just shot streets. And then in terms of like, there really aren't that many people in my photos. A lot of them are in the background. I think part of it is like, I'm not the type of person who's like a confrontational, like, hey, could I take a picture of you like randomly? I'll usually only do that if someone like approaches me on the street. And then it's like in that interaction, I'll be like, hey, can I take a picture of you? you know, and you know, usually they say yes or no. Sometimes they'll say no. It was interesting because when you like asked to talk to me, I was like, what am I going to talk about? And I just thought back on like, my photos really haven't changed, like the topics and the streets themselves. It's like all LA. It's all, you know, it kind of replicates after a while. And it's like, what's changed for me though is like I've kind of changed. I like took a lot more risks or did a lot more stuff when I was younger that I wouldn't do today. Yeah.
So once you switched to street photography, like what's next after that? Like what was the goal, or was it just like curiosity? Or
it was curiosity, and it's like pretty much, I've always felt pretty satiated. I've never felt like you know, I'll mix it up sometimes. It's like, you know, I'll go to Joshua Tree, or I'll go to the beach like once or twice a year to take pictures at the beach. And it's like, you know, interesting to see a horizon instead of just like, you know, buildings or whatever. But in terms of like, so I always feel really satisfied just shooting streets.
Yeah.
This isn't my career or anything like that. And I don't, I can say like I made a decision not to make it a career, but it was like, I was kind of like bailed out or felt sort of like fortunate enough to like, I have like a career of my own that is totally separate from photography. And so I can never, I never have to compromise with photography. Cause I remember there were times like when I was unemployed, like in the past, when I was like, could I just be a photographer? And I would, you know, I shot a few events and it was like, you know, I like taking photos, but it's like, I don't actually like this type of work of like shooting events and stuff like that. And it was like, I could feel like, oh, if I really tried to like make a hustle out of this and try to do this for a living, like this would start to be something I like resent. And so once I was able to like do something else and then still kind of like, I do spend a lot of time still on photography. Like I post every day or I queue up posts to, you know, post themselves every day on Tumblr. And it's like, I really do treat that as like a photo blog in a lot of ways. And so my goal is to just like, I just shoot. I don't have a goal to make money. I don't have even a way to make money. Like I don't have a Shopify or anything like that. So for me, it is like, just, it's just for personal satisfaction. And sometimes I wonder, am I always going to feel dissatisfied from it? Or am I going to have like a midlife crisis or something around this? But for now I do still love it.
Yeah. That's really refreshing because I think one of the ditches that like, I know I found myself in a lot of times is that hustle of like, got to make this work with certain projects in my past. And it's nice when you can like, I'm just going to let this be what it is.
Exactly. Cause I didn't want to do other stuff than what I want to do. And it's like, maybe there's a world where I could like really market myself and turn what I just want to do naturally into more, but I also don't want to do that, you know?
Yeah.
So it's,
yeah.
I'm very comfortable with the way like things are, even if I do have thoughts of like, oh, if I were to put my energy into X, like, would I be able to be Y?
Yeah. But it's not like an anxiety that you live with of like, I got to make this happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I don't like, if I never gain another follower or whatever, cause that's like the currency of, of today. It's like, I know I will continue to do this. Sometimes I wonder like if there was no internet, would I do all this? And that's an interesting, you know, kind of thought that I've thought through, and I probably would, but that is like a floating thing of like, if you like, would you take all these selfies if you like couldn't share them? Like if you take a selfie and there's no one to see it, was it really taken?
Yeah. I like that a lot. So you brought up Tumblr. Talk to me about your experiences with Tumblr. And so before we get into it, I have a confession. I think I'm addicted to it. So my friend, like early on, like introduced me to it. And often it's positive, but it can also be a massive time suck. So I don't know where you fall in that, but just tell me about your experience on there.
Yeah. I feel so gratified to be able to talk about Tumblr because there's no one in my life that still uses it. Like, as you know, like, I feel like it's a pretty interesting platform in that there's so many other ones out there that did like literally the same thing, but it was like, this is the one that I ended up choosing like a decade ago.
Yeah.
And it would be too much for me to leave it. And so much of it is like very much built. I like the reblogging aspect and I like just the way it works. The time suck aspect of it, I experienced that much more on Twitter than Tumblr. But Tumblr itself, it's like when they removed all their porn a few years ago.
And did that they though?
But did they? Yeah, you're right. Some of my stuff will sometimes get like flagged as like, this is not appropriate. And it's like, what are you talking about? It's like, that's a statue. And I got to change it back. But it's like when that happened, it felt like there was a drop off in the kind of like the number of people and kind of like the response my photos would get. But ultimately, I feel like there's been a big recovery on Tumblr in the last like year and a half to 2 years. I feel like the platform has made more updates in the last like 6 months than I've seen like in the previous 6 years, literally. And ultimately, I feel like my photos have a better they are better suited for the Tumblr platform than they are for anywhere else in a lot of ways. You know, I like to do these photo sets where it's like, I usually do between usually the average of like 3 or 4 photos in one post. And part of the reason I do that is because like, I just take a lot of photos and I post a lot of photos. Part of it is I can't always discern the good ones from the bad ones. And it's like, well, if I'm just documenting, it's like, well, here's just a lot. And you can kind of like see the good ones from like the bad ones. And so I recognize like I definitely am not like the best street photographer. I'm not even the best street photographer like living like on my block. I feel like I know I'm not the best. I know I'm not the hardest working, I guess, but I feel like my niche or whatever is like I'm pretty prolific, like output. I don't know anyone that's taken more photos or posted more photos. And like, you can totally debate like how much value does that have? But for me, like I find a lot of value in going back through my archives, and maybe it's a little self-indulgent, but I like, you know, I've lived in LA my whole life. It is very interesting seeing the city change, even the skyline a little bit at this point, see the graffiti change, like read the different years on the tags where it's like, oh, I took this in 2016, but this tag is from like 2011. And, you know, I kind of like that historical aspect of it. So that's like kind of a piece of like, I don't feel you can get that same feeling on Instagram, while Tumblr for me, it's a blog. You scroll back, you're scrolling back in time. I'm listing dates. You can see like, oh, this was my birthday like 4 years ago, or, you know, I know what I was doing like on every 4th of July, like dating back like however many years. So I like Tumblr for that a lot. What do you think of it?
Do you have your own, like your own that you just reblog to, or is it all for photos?
No. It's all my social media is just, well, except for Twitter is, so like my Tumblr and my Instagram, it's just my photos. I never reblog. My Twitter, I mainly retweet. That's where I kind of like, you know, let loose a little more.
My experience with Tumblr is more as like mood boards. And like, I have like 5 blogs that I just, it like helps me organize my life, and I'm very visual. So it's like, oh, these go here, this goes here. And there's something therapeutic about taking that stream and just like organizing it.
Where do you organize my photos into? Which board?
So a few years ago, I wrote this story that I turned into an app, and one of the characters was from Los Angeles. And so I stumbled upon your photo and I was like, these are the exact mood that what Los Angeles is. Because I've only been like 2 times in my life. I'm from just outside of Toronto. Mm-hmm. But in the times that I've been there, it really like kind of gets under your skin, you know? Mm-hmm. And not every city you go to is like that, but like New York and like Chicago for me, and then Los Angeles. So when I came across yours, it was like, I think I went through with like the first day and I was like, oh, these are all like the vibe. So that's kind of what hooked me, this. And it's just mostly like candids of girls and Los and like streets, and they just fit together. So
nice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, man.
But it's like therapeutic to be like, oh, that's that vibe. And I put it there.
Right. Yeah. Kind of like self-organized visually.
Yeah, kind of. And then it keeps you looking at interesting things. You know, I like that Tumblr, it's not so follower based in the currency. Like you don't really
know. You can't see it. Yeah, I totally agree.
And so that, and you don't know who these people are necessarily. And so I find like people bitch about it all the time, but I find it very just nice and it's free of all that other shit, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's like, you don't know who these people are. Like you said, there's like a very anonymous aspect to it. And yet it doesn't have that like sinister aspect that same characteristic has on Twitter, for example, where that anonymity is like sinister.
Yeah.
It's menacing. Like people are more abusive there. I don't think that's on Tumblr nearly as much.
No, not nearly as much. I think I think there's a bad Tumblr group, and then, but I think most of us just want to look at like, another thing I love about Tumblr is like the care that goes into like GIFs on that site. Like the other day I saw like someone will go through and so WandaVision is
I've seen that all in my feed.
Yeah. So they went through and they tracked all the times Wu did like this magic trick from learning it to like end. And I was like, these are my kind of like, that's really nerdy to do, but also yeah. thank you. I appreciate it.
Right. So that's the craft, that's, the commitment to the art. That's like, it, yeah. it has, it kind of has deviant art vibes. If you're yeah. familiar with that website, it's like, I feel like some of that transitioned to Tumblr circa like 2009.
Yeah. They jumped over.
Yeah.
And then found a new home. So, and it, but whenever someone says Tumblr, it's like, they just say like 13-year-old girls. And I'm like, it's not really.
Yeah. I know. I
you're always fighting against it.
Like I mentioned, like I'm the only one I know left on there. And it's like, and I'm committed. It's, you know, I only URLs for my name, like Matthew Anson and Matthew, you know, my full name, MatthewGrantAnson.com. And it's, I just forward them to Tumblr. You know, it's like, this is like reflective enough of like what I'm about. And like,
yeah,
I hope I'm like, in, I'm glad that they're making updates, because there was a time where I was like, what would happen if this went under, like if it went, you know, Vine,
right?
You know,
yeah.
And then it would be like just Instagram, and it's like, great, I'm like relying on like the worst possible platform, you know. The other thing,
that aspect would be gone, right? That
yeah, like, yeah, of that piece of it, yeah. And that yeah. would be a tragedy. I would, you know, I'd be in the Wayback Machine, you know, looking at my stuff, like
yeah.
Even though I have the photos, like, you know, part of it is the photo to me, like the photo sets, where it's like, oh, you can stick like three pretty good photos together and add a great one. And it's like, yeah. that will, versus if you were to post those three pretty good ones, like individually, which I'm honestly, I feel like that's what my Instagram ends up being, you know, it's like, I'm a pretty good photographer. And it's like, but if you mix and match pretty good things together, it's like, ooh, this itself can be, you know, add an extra oomph. And that's yeah. when I get on Tumblr that I just can't get like anywhere else.
There's like a curated aspect to it, right? It's like totally. You're saying these photos like vibe well together, and you just don't get that same feeling on the other platforms.
Yeah. And part of it is that when I started using Tumblr, you know, I was probably using, in terms of like my screen time, it had to be like 90-10 computer phone. And mm-hmm. I felt, or a feeling I have today in regards to like my photography, or perhaps photography in general, but I feel like maybe I'm being selfish, like mine. It's like, mm-hmm. I feel it is more, a better avenue to look at it, or a better medium is a computer mm-hmm. than a phone. And I still use Tumblr more on my computer than my phone, even though I mainly, and I feel like most people use, you know, their phones more than their computers. And I feel like my photography gets a much better reception on Tumblr than anywhere else. And sometimes I wonder if that's because other people are using their computers to look at it, which obviously has like a different resolution and different, because sometimes I look at my pictures on my phone and it's like, why the fuck did I even like think to do this, like, you know, edit, or let alone like post this. And then I'll look at it later on my computer and it's like, oh, like I get it now, but this is never going to be seen at this size. And it's like, do I reprioritize like the size that I edit things at, knowing that it's just going to be the size of a, you know, a business yeah. card on someone's phone.
Yeah. That they're like,
yeah. And that they're going to fly by.
Yeah. Talk to me about like photography, and you mentioned a little bit about how do you feel about where it's at and where it's going with, you know, everyone taking photos and.
Yeah. Cell phones being like replacing yeah. cameras. I think it's fascinating. I myself am not a phone. I never use the phone photo to do any, you know, I'll do like, you know, pictures of my, you know, friends, family, loved ones, but I don't yeah. do any like artistic stuff. And, but I feel like that time is here. Like you don't need to get a, unless you care about your lenses, which is a big thing, you know, that is like, it's pretty easy. It's like, unless you care about breathing, you know, it's okay to not box, you know, part of it is like kind of a big thing to like do without lenses, but the actual like hardware itself of like image resolution and stuff like that, like we're here, like you don't need to get a real camera anymore. And now it's going back kind of the other direction, kind of similar to music in some ways, where it's like, we're here. You're like, you don't have to have any physical representation. And it's like, well, now vinyl is coming back, you know, yeah. and in, you know, I feel like that's kind of happening with photography. There's a lot more interest in film. I myself have had a lot more interest in film starting in like 2018. I started using like things like this, disposable cameras. So just like the standard stuff that you would, you know, this technology hasn't gone anywhere in the last like 100 years, I feel like, where you just buy like a disposable camera, you get like 27 shots and it's like a different feeling, a different vibe, different process. So it's like, I feel like that's great that the more access there are to cameras for artistic means is like, you know, the more photos in the world, like the better in a lot of ways, but also the more cameras there are, like there's other stuff like, you know, police activity, like they're getting captured on more cameras than ever. I feel like that's great too. And it's like, yeah, we live in a surveillance state, but that was going to happen with or without like consumer access to all this stuff. So I'd rather have it than not.
Yeah. Yeah. At least that, like, if there's going to be cameras everywhere, we have them too.
Yeah, so exactly.
Balances out. Talk to me about Los Angeles and you obviously love it. Talk to me about just your love for it.
Yeah. I was born in Santa Monica and then I grew up in, most of my childhood was in Glendale, which is just like, you know, 15 minutes from downtown LA. And I've lived here pretty much ever since. I went to college, like just outside of LA, still LA County, which is a huge county, but you know, I've always lived here and it's kind of fascinating being here in that a lot of people who live here are not from here. And sometimes you meet people in certain circles, like my girlfriend, her cohort for grad school is like, none of them are actually from LA, but it's like everyone came to UCLA. There's always something that's drawing people here, whether it's like the stereotype Hollywood type stuff, that industry, or whether it's like, you know, education opportunities like that, or even just like, you know, there is like, I guess, this spirit that people perceive from afar that is, I guess, real, because like you mentioned, like when you come here, and similar with other cities, like there is something distinct or unique that for me, it's hard to imagine leaving. Also, it's hard to imagine leaving because like my family is from here and they are around here. My life is here. So it's like, I love LA. I also love everywhere else I go. And I do always picture myself like, could I live here? Would you live here? Like, what would my life be like here? You know, I do a lot of travel for work up to like rural Washington State. And that's like a total change, like driving through like apple orchards and stuff like that, or between, you know, small cities on the map. And it's like, I can picture myself like, yeah, I could get a lot of work done here. Like I could take a lot of pictures here, but as far as LA goes, it's like, it is home for me, like through and through.
Mm-hmm. What is it, do you think, that interests you so much about the look of it, about the feel? Like, what keeps bringing you back to it?
It's pretty harsh out here visually. Like it is, there are incredibly beautiful things here. And there are like some of like the worst things you could see, like are just happening in front of you in other ways. And that's sort of, those extremes are, I think, present in other cities, but there is something unique about LA in that the LA tinge to that just kind of like is this other flavor or distinction that I guess just is, it's hard to put words to, but it's like, but those extremes to me and like all the things in between, or the things that are like, you know, this is really gritty and yet it's really beautiful, or this is really beautiful and yet this is really gritty, you know, like that is, I feel like that's ever present throughout the city, and it is represented very differently in, I guess, every different neighborhood as well. The neighborhoods of LA, you know, and that's part of it, is like, I always would say like, oh yeah, I'm an LA street photographer, but it's like, honestly, it was more like I'm a East Side to South Central street photographer. Like I'm spending like almost no time on the West Side. That was like true for so much of it, because LA is a huge city, but it's been a very different city in COVID. So that's kind of been another kind of interesting thing that's in some way changes the city, or kind of like, you know, you were glasses, like, you know, I don't know if you ever wear contacts, but like if you're wearing contacts but you put your glasses on, it's like, this is like not right either, you know, it's like you know, that kind of like has that feel in some ways when you know, another tinge over it.
Interesting. Talk to me about inspiration and like, I guess for you, like, let's start with that itch to take photos. You talked about being a kid, you talked about kind of exploring. Talk to me about like you know, the last time you took a photo, why'd you get out and do it? Like, what was like, oh, what, I have to do this now.
The last time I took a photo was like about a week ago when I had just finished like my last work meeting, and it was like, you know, I was looking behind me out the window and I could tell it was going to be like a really good sunset. And I bought a bike back in like right around when like the lockdown started. Cause usually like the way I like to take pictures is I live right next to a, like a light rail station that will take me like directly to downtown in like 10 minutes or something like that. And I would usually just take that metro around all over the city. And then, you know, I knew I could do whatever, cause I live like four doors down. So it was like, oh, I didn't have to drive, so I can like, you know, do whatever I want, so to speak, like while shooting and like have a good time. And, you know, with COVID, it's like, well, I'm not going to like put myself or others at risk by like continuing to ride the train. So I really stopped doing that. And then it was like, I got kind of tired of walking around in my neighborhood, and I'll drive around and take photos, but it's just not the same. So I bought a bike and I've been like biking around while taking photos for pretty much the last year, which has been like super gratifying. So like a week ago, last time I took pictures, it was like, I see this sunset, I got to get on my bike, shoot my neighborhood in a good sunset from the bike. Never done that, you know? So I did that. And that was like, I felt like a real compulsion to do that, because it's like, I just think of those conditions. Like, am I going to get a good sunset like this again? Like, I know it's kind of seasonal. Like the sunsets here are beautiful, but it's like, it makes a difference. It just rained. Is it really going to rain again? You know? So there's like, there's things like that, that kind of like also push me, that are kind of more on the practical side, you know, they're like conditional.
So it's like an excursion for you. Like, it's like, I'm going on an adventure. And when you could take like the light rail, that was like, so is it just like you watching the conditions, or like, it's going to be a good day for it? Is there any like release that's happening, or like, or is it just kind of, hey, this seems like a good day for it?
It's like, usually it's like, it's a weekend. I need to like use one of these days. I try to shoot like every week, and it's rare I do a weekday. So that was kind of an anomaly where I was like, the sunset, you know, I got to just like bite the bullet, leave this meeting, rush out there. So usually it's a weekend. So there's like, I just get what I get, you know?
Yeah.
Part of it is like, I can really remember quite well, like, oh, I remember the month and the year that I took these photos. Like, it's like, I don't have a photographic memory, but I have a memory of all these photos that I took. So I remember like, oh yeah, back in 2015 in March, there was like rain on a weekend. And I remember thinking like, this never happens. I gotta like shoot this. So there's a lot of that.
Yeah. So when you when you're out there and you're taking photos, is it an intellectual experience, or is it more of like a feeling?
It's like a feeling as I'm going. I am trying to be cognizant of my surroundings in a lot of ways. So that's like a mix of feeling, where it's like, what is the vibe? I always kind of like refer to it as like, is this a two headphone zone, or like a one headphone zone? Like, should I have one off? Like, do I need to like hear, or is this like a no headphone zone where it's like, I really need to hear, and like, I should be like really freaking careful. So there's some, that's like feeling that you need to like think through, like,
yeah,
it leads to thought. There's scenarios like that where it's like, you know, you're going up on a rooftop and it's like, there's this sign that says like, don't push through this door or this will like ring. And it's like, do I do this? I would never, but I have friends that are like, come on, what are the odds? And you know, so far the odds are 50-50, you know, like literally 50-50. So it's like, there is like thought, and there's a lot of like risk management, I guess, where you're like, you know, and different people will like take different risks. Different people doing the same thing is personally, the risk levels are not the same. Also, you know, I'm a white dude, and I think it is different for me being in certain places or certain situations than I think it with a camera and stuff like that, than it would be for other folks, which is something I've like thought more about like over the last like 4 or 5 years.
How do you know, do you get a feeling when you know you have a good photo, or is it just like, do you find it after? Like, how, what's the process of like, are you looking at your phone a lot, or are you just snapping? Like, how does that work?
Usually I know like in the moment, like this is going to be good. Sometimes I don't have my camera to my head. Like if I'm like reaching over something or like trying to like catch a reflection off the floor, stuff like that. Or I'm shooting from my hip while I'm walking. And sometimes I won't know. And it's like only when I'm going through later, but usually it is like, I know in the moment, like this is a good one. Like if this is in focus, this is going to be great. Like I hope that I didn't fuck this up in some way. There's a lot of that. So usually I know.
Yeah. Talk to me about your photography and your creative side and the people around you. How do those two things kind of interact with you?
A lot of my friends are very creative, and some of my friends I've met through Tumblr or Instagram, where I've been like messaged by them or I've messaged them about like, hey, you know, where is this? You know, I'll trade you this spot for this spot. There's a lot of that stuff in the world these days. And so that's been really helpful for me because it's like I've gained relationships through this, like really close friendships that are like beyond photography or anything like that, but in regards to photography are also like super enriching because these are like amazing photographers that are my friends that have in some ways super similar perspectives that I do or interests that I do, and in other ways totally different interests or perspectives, or we'll shoot the same thing and it will be very different because we have like, we're just seeing the world differently, and we will push each other where it's like, you know, back in normal times, it's like, come on, Matt, like it's time for the annual, like we do something in nature and it's like, all right, I'll come with you guys. Or we got it. Like, it's the annual, like, you know, sunrise from the beach. And it's like, okay, I'll do this like every 18 months. And for me, it's like, guys, there's this abandoned spot, like, we just have to do it. And, you know, we are like pushing each other and tempering each other. Like I'll be the voice of reason where it's like, no, like we can't climb this bridge and take your gloves off. Like the police are here, you know, like there's stuff like that. So in that sense, if I didn't form the relationships that I have that were born on these platforms, like I don't think I would be half of the pretty good photographer that I am today.
I love it. So is that your main way of like working on your craft and improving is talking with people?
Yeah. The improving word is interesting because it's like, am I improving? Because I know that some of the best photos I ever took were, I took them like the second or third time I even like did street photography, you know? It's like, and so knowing that, I kind of have this weird feeling where it's like, I feel like I'm not really getting any better and my subject matter isn't really changing. In some ways, the streets themselves are changing. And so that is like super helpful from like a, you know, a documentary process of like, oh, like what does Figueroa look like in 2014 versus 2021. It's like, well, I can show you. I have like a million photos of every year in between them. In other ways, it's like, you know, if a random person, like if I just showed them a photo, it's going to be hard for them to tell the difference between if it was like taken in 2016 or if it was taken yesterday. And if I like, I think for me, it's kind of, I always have this convenient out in a lot of ways where it's like, anytime something becomes hard, it's like, well, it's not my career. Or it's like, well, I'm not an artist. Or it's like, well, I never set out to do this anyway. You know, it's I always have all these outs, but I, you know, it works for me.
Well, I think that's really refreshing, especially it's good to like follow passions and all that. But on the other hand, it is also just nice to talk to someone and to remind myself like, oh yeah, this is supposed to be fun. Like it's not supposed to be a heavy thing. And even the aspect of like improving, why do we think about that so much? Like,
are you developing, you know, like I hear that a lot at work and it's like, makes sense at work and it makes sense in theory artistically, but it's like, do you have to be, you know, or isn't doing the same thing for a certain amount of time, like that's also a form of development, you know, in the commitment to that. At least that's another thing I tell myself.
No, I really like it. I find it very refreshing. But to that same regard, how you've obviously learned things along the way. What's something that comes to mind that you've learned?
I guess I learned over time that if I detached being creative and this like quote unquote art from making any money, I would be a lot happier. Mm. I learned that, you know, pretty early on. I've also learned, I guess I've learned like a lot socially, you know, riding the, so like I wasn't a big like bike rider until this year. Now I ride my bike and it's like, I'll ride it in the street. I'll ride it at night. Like now I feel pretty confident on it, but part of that, I can feel like, oh, I actually feel this confident partially because like I've spent a lot of time like in these streets and I understand like, oh yeah, this person like at this red light, like they're definitely going to make a right turn. Like they're not going to look like I know mm-hmm. that as a pedestrian. And so yeah. That's like, I've learned practical things through that. And I've learned stuff, like I mentioned before, like socially in the sense that it, so like, for example, like over the summer I was spending, you know, I was just going out in the afternoons to shoot. And for like 3 weeks in a row, I would see police had like pulled people over, cuffed them, were searching their cars, found nothing, and let them go. And mm-hmm. I would be there for the whole thing. I would take all these pictures. I would, you know, make sure nothing bad happened. And, you know, I would just, you know, think about like, I've never been, you know, I've been pulled over. I've never been asked to leave my car. And I've certainly never been cuffed. And it's like, I just know it's because of like the way I look compared mm-hmm. to like the, you know, the folks that were in these situations. And it's like, mm-hmm. you know, I like tell my family about some stuff like this, like, oh yeah, there was this dude and I saw this stuff happen. And then like, I talked to him afterwards and we traded info and then I sent him the photos and he wants to file a lawsuit and he wants me to testify, you know, it's like stuff like that, you know, and I'll tell like my family about that. And they'll be like, so you said no, right? And it's like, no, I said like, of course, you know, it's like, I feel like there's like a something realer to like actually seeing things play out in front of you that I guess even seeing the photo evidence of or like hearing recounted or retold, like can't even provide that same like penetration into your skull. Like things are different for everyone.
Yeah. Like you seeing someone and then talking to them after they've been cuffed and for nothing. Yeah. And you're talking with them is very different than you telling me. Like it would get under your skin. Like,
exactly.
This is a person. Like,
right. This is a person and this would never happen to you
because
of like totally external things that you have no control over.
Yeah. And it's an intellectual exercise for other people when they hear about it. But for you, it's like a real, obviously it's a real experience.
Right.
So talked a little bit about your creativity and the things that you learned. I really like how practical, like when we talk about learning stuff, you're bringing all these other aspects in. And I find that really refreshing. But if you were to imagine your creativity in your head, what would that look like?
I mean, like you've mentioned, like, I guess I'll keep it practical. It's like my first thought to like that question is it's not my camera itself, but it's like the strap of the camera in that I, especially now that like I'm riding my bike while shooting, you know, it's like I have to balance with one hand and then one hand holds the camera, but it can't always hold the camera. Like I need the strap to hold it at the other times. Between that and like walking around, you know, holding it by the strap, it's like, it's so sweaty. It's so like disgusting. It's so like beaten up. It's like so old. I bought it used anyway. So it's like, I bought it from this other punk photographer like, like 7 years ago. And it's like that, I feel like is such a totem of all this time. Like so much, I guess, of, you know, saying all stuff, it's like time is a big aspect of like my feelings of photography, you know, as time passes, time, things change in time and the capturing of that time or those moments, you know, that's like basically what it all comes back to for me.
Yeah. I like that aspect. And I'm glad you pointed it out. I hadn't even, you kind of mentioned time this whole chat, you know, even when we were talking about Tumblr, it was about time.
Right.
What's your relationship with time like for you? What do you think about it?
It's interesting because I've always been like kind of I've always been like very self-aware of how nostalgic I was even from a young age. And I remember I kind of prepped as a youth to be nostalgic as an adult, where I was like, okay, let me save these baby teeth. Like, these will be cool when I'm an adult. Or like, you know, let me save these like good grades from fourth grade. Like, I will want to see this when I'm older. And like, I have, you know, shoe boxes of stuff like that, you know, that I never really look at, kind of like interestingly, but that I know are there. So yeah. I've always been like this kid who's been kind of interested in time, terrified of death, you know, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And so a lot of like the photos I have, I can, you know, it's almost like there's like this, for me, there's like a live photo effect, or that Harry Potter newspaper effect, where it's like, oh, you can see the moments right before the photo and then right after. Like, I can see that mm-hmm. with all my photos, since I like took all of them. And so that is like these little snippets of time that are, you know, I just think like when I'm super old, or God forbid if something like happened to me, like someone could like look at, you know, this was like a lot of my life, like in little snippets of time, like all these photos, pretty reflective of what I was doing and what was happening at those times. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like living memorial in a lot of ways, or like to like that, both myself and to the city.
Yeah. Do you find it's hard to remember things like without looking back at the photos, or can you remember, like, does the photo cue a memory, or is it the other way around?
Usually a photo will cue a memory. I can, if you were to put pretty much any photo in front of me, I could probably like date it and like give a month for it.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool. You know, like I have like, I don't even know, like hundreds of thousands of like edited, posted photos, not even to mention like the ones that were like shitty, which were like has to be millions. And I've never deleted those either. Like, I have all of those on like multiple hard drives.
Yeah.
So that's another thing where it's like, I'm like, if something ever happens to me and I can't like shoot anymore, I could at least go back through like all my work and like I could like re-look through it, you know?
Yeah.
Re-edit it, repost it, you know?
I like that. It's like, it's comforting. It's yeah. like, I know that's there. And yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah. And I hope I'm not like setting that up or jinxing that to like, well, you asked for it.
So you said something, and I don't want to dwell here too long, but talk to me about your feelings towards death.
Yeah, that's always been my biggest fear. And I remember being in third grade and we were reading some book, and my teacher was like, who here would want to live forever if you could? And I was like one of like three kids to raise my hand. And I like looked around and was like, what's going on? Like, like, is this a death cult or something? You know, like that's how I felt in my like third grade mind. But I've always had like a fear of death. Like anytime even today, if I like imagine the act of like nothingness, or like the state of nothingness or stuff like that, you know, it's pretty, pretty daunting. So I try to think of like something else. If you get like too close to the sun,
yeah,
it's like Icarus feeling of like, and now you're nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, how do you feel?
Oh, that's funny to me, because like the nothing actually is comforting. I came from a very Christian background, and I used to, as a kid, like have panic attacks about heaven because I couldn't get my head around like forever. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
And so like not being part of that anymore, I'm like, oh, just drift off into nothing. Sign me up.
That's interesting. It's like, for me, it was like my dad was raised Catholic. I don't know if you would still identify as that. And my mom was Jewish. So I never had like a very stringent, you know, I've been to church and, you know, I celebrate Hanukkah, but I, you know, I didn't like grow up with like a godly family or anything like that. And so I always identified as like agnostic/atheist. And so it's like the idea of nothing is scary to me, but it feels like, oh yeah, this is probably what's going to happen, unfortunately. And that is certainly terrifying for me.
As an atheist or agnostic, do you think there's a spiritual aspect to creativity at all? Or how do you view spirituality?
Yeah. Well, it almost comes back to like, what is the point of living, or what are you like supposed to get out of living? And if you are not believing in whatever, or if you are not spiritual, which I don't identify as. So it, for me, it just comes down to, like, the point of living is for it to be as long as it is one iota better than the alternative, it's worth it. Like, that's the bar. That's the lowest possible bar. And thus, anything you can do that makes it worth it for you is worth it. And so, like, for me, taking all these photos that will be seen by, you know, a couple hundred, at best a couple thousand people for at most a couple days, probably, like, is that the best use of my time? I don't know. But it's like, that does give me a lot of satisfaction. And for the hopefully 150 years I'm here on this earth, you know, I like to be optimistic. If I am getting satisfaction out of that, then it's totally worth it, because the whole point of living is for it to be even the barest minimum above, like, better than being dead.
I love it. What's your favorite thing to take photos of? Like, other than, like, obviously LA, but, like, is there a specific place? Is there a specific?
Yeah. And you know, I always come down to, like, I love, the best feeling I ever have is the best possible feeling you could ever have, or I could ever have, is like when you find somehow you find your way into, like, an abandoned building, and it actually has, like, it's a few stories tall, and you somehow get on the roof. That feeling of, like, climbing the ladder onto the roof is, like, so gratifying. And also, like, just, it happens to be, like, as a photographic opportunity, like, it is a very, like, rich time of, like, there's so much to take pictures of. And, you know, that for me is, like, such a feeling of accomplishment. And then you see, like, the spot get burnt out, and, like, a bunch of other people post the same stuff, you know, over the next few weeks. And it's like, huh, well, I had that feeling, you know. It's kind of interesting in that way, how those things happen. But yeah, for me, it's like, I felt like my favorite thing to take photos of are, like, rooftops, abandoned shit, you know, graffiti. I love alleys. I love, you know, that's that time as you're walking or driving by, and you're looking up a street or up an alley, and you, like, as you pass by, you can see down the whole way straight down. Yeah. Like, those moments to me are so, like, I would always think, like, oh, I wish I, like, could have blinked and caught a picture of that. So I spend a lot of times, like, in alleys because, you know.
So you said something that was interesting to me about, like, a spot being burnt out. So, like, how do you explain people being drawn to certain spots and energy, and, like, why would that happen? Like, why would a spot, like, have a spike in popularity and then burn out? Like, they used up all the...
It's more like burnt out as in so many people are now aware of this area that this building's going to be now torn down, or it's going to be fenced and...
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There's going to be security. It's like there is a building that the one I just described in my fantasy, like, there is a building like that I saw there's someone I follow who I message with sometimes who does graffiti, and I saw he posted that, and I know the area pretty well. I figured out where it was on my own.
Yeah.
And then while I was there, you know, it's like other people find out. I told people, it's like, you know, I burnt it out, you know, whatever, you know, other people find out. And then it's like, over time, that building will be torn down for sure. It's now, like, totally tagged. It's so obvious. It's like, I knew about it from, like, I saw it online from a graph person, and I saw people on the roof, and it's like, you know, that will for sure be torn down. And so people do try to have, like, this, like, ethos of, like, yeah, don't burn out the spot, don't tell other people. And it's like, you're of course telling other people. Like, the only way that all these people even know about this spot is if you're being told about it. So it's like, you know, that's happening. It's just this, like, this fight against the inevitable in a lot of ways.
I like that you've talked about, like, followers as currency, but also kind of spots as currency.
Yeah, that's true. And there's a lot of that in photography, and there's a lot of that in graffiti. And at least personally for me, that there's been more crossover with that, where it's like, I've had more graph people hit me up and be like, hey, like, where is this rooftop? And I'll tell them, like, it's here, and here's how you get there. And they're like, wow, thanks. Like, here's how you get here. And it's like, wow, let's add, this is a start of a beautiful relationship.
I love it. Matthew, thank you so much for, I didn't know what to expect. And I found it so refreshing. And even the end there, I was like, what do you mean burn out the spot with energy? And you're just like, practically, it just burns out, man. You're going to tear it down. I was like, that makes sense.
Well, I really appreciate it. I'm glad to have been kind of humored in this like self-indulgence of mine. It's been amazing talking to you. And like, you're someone who's like a very, you know, I've listened to several episodes and it's like always fascinating to hear, you know, that like bumper talk into like the actual interviews and like, just hearing you draw the spirit of creativity out of people when it's like, I think in many cases, like in my case too, it's like, I never think about creativity until I came on the pod. So I appreciate it a lot.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate hearing that. And thank you for everything you shared and just for a completely different perspective and like kind of like a relaxed, sometimes it's like, go, 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 go. And it's like, share the spot.
Yeah.
Chill out.
That's what I try to bring. It's a like vibe of chillness. And here are hundreds of street photos.
I love it. Keep taking photos. I'll keep reblogging them. And we'll talk soon, okay?
Thank you, man. Take care. All right.
Matt's great, isn't he? I just love what he had to say about money, ambition, and his photos. How many times have I burnt myself out on something I loved because I was trying to make money at it? And then you feel like a failure, or at least I did, and so on. It keeps going. I love how Matt has found his balance of doing the work, shipping the work, while also finding his peace in the expectations of the work. And then, you know, I love how he uses it as kind of a, you know, almost a journal and just using it to keep track of his life and his city. I love that. Thank you, Matt, for being on the podcast this week. Thank you for your photos, for your perspective, and for such a great chat. Part of the fun of doing these podcasts is that I go into the conversations without really knowing what I'm getting into. With Matt, we found our way to some real human stuff. God, death, the afterlife, you know. That's the magic that I'm going for each week. Alternative titles for the episode could be Sweaty, Disgusting, and Beaten Up. Preparing to be nostalgic, and I should have called it this one. Like, is this a death cult or something? Music for the podcast this week was created by Cine. Big thanks to Josh from Mixed Media Sound for cleaning up these sounds. Special thanks to Aaron of Him and Her. Have a good week, guys. If the pattern holds, March is going to be coming in like a lion. Show up, do the work, and stay safe out there, okay? See ya, buds.